Test. 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 Testing. Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk. The urban industrialized society that you live within is systematically destroying the environment. The Mechanopolis is destroying the planet. You have been psychologically programmed to believe that this is not happening. Pockets of resistance have been weeded out and crushed.
You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. My name is Linda. Today we're going to be taking a look at the G20 in Pittsburgh. The G20 is coming up in Brisbane in November, and I want to take a look at what happened in other cities where the G20 was, and also possibly before that, the G8. I'm going to look into the G20 a bit because we've got to start to get organised in Brisbane for this, and there's a talk on tomorrow night, a people's forum at James Park at the Leeds Club there in West End. Several people talking to the community about the G20, including some police people are going to be there as well. First of all, on today's show, I'm going to play the latest rap news, and it goes for 7 minutes, and then come back and talk about the G20 and other news that's happening around the place.
Robert Foster on top roster with perfect precision, flipping this transmission of rap news journalism. This edition, we're shocked by the apparently surplus surfeit of worsening urgent news stories that in the world have arisen. Deadly epidemics, an airliner shot down by militants, giant sinkholes confirm dire climate change predictions, the slaughter of women and children, fascism. And if that's not sufficient, we lost Robin Williams. How does humanity manage to cope and survive with all of these calamities happening all at the same time? To find out, tonight we'll tune into the mainstream media line. Hold on tight, I'll see you on the other side. Turn off the rest, tune in to the best of the best. I'm Brian Washington, one of the vets of this nation's press. The time is 6, switch on your television sets to get your daily fix of headlines right here on MSNBS. In Gaza, Hamas attacks Israeli missiles with children. In Russia, could these sinkholes be a new source of free heating? In Ferguson, nothing is happening. World mourns death of Robin Williams, national tragedy. In our main story, the Mid-Oil East is attacked by a group of ruthless savages. For deep analysis, we have an exclusive interview with General Baxter. General, a massive new threat to world peace? I know exactly what you mean. Everything will be going great, actually improving. In the American Empire, or planet Earth as some refer to it, if it wasn't for that cavalier racketeer Vladimir Putin, thanks to him it's become a dangerous planet here for humans. Putin? Frickin' Putin. He's on a killing spree. It was his missile that blew flight MH17 to smithereens. In March, he launched Operation Crimea Unpunishment. Now he's set to march in and invade Ukraine. Astonishing. Seizing territory? Giving weaponry to extremist lunatics? Honestly, no surprise those arms are used to commit atrocities. Who would ever do such a thing? I know, right? Despicable. In other news, what's the latest from the state of Israel? We're sending our buddy Bibi plenty of weapons and munitions. No surprise those arms are used in heroic self-defense missions. Operation Cropping the Hedge was a crowd pleaser. It was a hell of a pinpoint operation, a cutting-edge procedure, hitting the terrorist human shields with the deftest precision in schools, hospitals, ambulances, human shelters even. Very efficient. We'll be right back after this message.
Experiencing cognitive dissonance when reading the news? You may be suffering from irony sufficiency. Try Irony Guard. Removes all the painful irony so you can go about your day. Irony Guard.
Welcome back. Many are calling for boycotts and sanctions. Your reaction? No question. Putin deserves punitive action. He's even arming Bashar al-Assad, a madman assassin who's massacring Syrian civilians by the thousands in a civil war that shows no signs of subsidence. Thankfully, we armed Syrian rebel groups to avert a crisis.
You mean groups like ISIS?
Yes.
I mean, no.
Well, kind of. Hold that thought, General. Let's give our audience some guidance. Who is ISIS? What are they seeking to do? Fortunately, they're very active on social media, too, where they cunningly disseminate their hateful deviant views. Watch their latest viral video by a recent recruit.
Yo, infidels better listen. Yo, so check it, this is IS, few coups, this is scary. You're now face to face with a formidable adversary. We're ready to carry out beheadings in any enemy village and spread our rigid medieval beliefs on the Twitter feed, in it. With a military force, straight blaming you back far, turning your own weapons back on you, yelling Allahu Akbar. Gotta be rock stars with rocket launchers, jacking armored cars, destined to bring Sharia law direct to your backyard. Yeah, get ready, infidels, it's time for the flames. We go psycho and stab a knife right in your brains. First we take our rack and leave the sacks, pico lines on the rain. Then redraw the world map with the design, allow what it may.
Timmy, dinner time!
But Mom!
Downstairs now, you can do jihad later.
General, what do you make of all this?
Bucky, these creeps are total scumbag jihadis, led by the Mac Daddy of Iraqi baddies, Bakar al-Baghdadi.
I heard he's 80 times eviler than Osama bin Laden.
Probably.
So which tyrant is giving these lunatics weaponry?
Well, remember how in 2003 we liberated Iraq, then armed the Iraqi army after we finished destroying the Iraqi army with our army?
Yeah.
The arms we armed the Iraqi army with couldn't defend the Iraqis and got hijacked as ISIS armaments. So now we're dropping our bombs to bomb the bombs we gave to them Iraqis to make Iraq safe, to make Iraqi safe again. Now IS is on the rampage, expanding the caliphate. It's a reverse crusade and these fanatics love to decapitate and cut necks.
And they're coming for us next.
That is correct. This could well be worse than 9/11 if left unchecked.
So what can we do to stop them? How can we fight this?
We must expand Operation Unintentionally Support ISIS by arming the Kurds, the Yazidis, and Malaysian airliners. That should put a stop to Putin inciting all this violence.
Silence!
What the? Stand by while we fix our devices.
Sheep will have arrived to leak the lies of the mainstream media tyrants.
Who the heck are you?
Terrence Mooney from the League of Defiance. I've hijacked the feed to bring you the truth hiding behind these events. These child deaths in the news are heathen sacrifices by the Illuminati. Check their symbol, see where the line is? Divide it, that's an I and an S. Multiply it, what does it spell? ISIS, the Egyptian goddess protector of the dead and children. That's right, kids, but that's just the surface of the crisis upon us. Three massive sinkholes have appeared in the Yamal province. You think it's coincidence Yamal means end of the world? Forget methane, those are tunnels for the elite to escape into the hollow earth once Obama brings the Ebola bioweapon to America.
What do you mean?
Untested vaccine injections are spreading it beyond the African area. Next is FEMA quarantine and militarized police to purchase when they bring in martial law. Just look at Ferguson. The whole world is about to go Shazbot. It's a plot by the Freemasons.
Is this guy Freemason?
Only the Pleiadian aliens can save us.
Ridiculous.
It's no laughing matter, Dork. They've deprived us of laughter by staging the death of Mork.
Sorry, that was just a static in the satellite dish.
Lies!
What?
Terrence is back like a virus. I'm wireless.
Now look here, I'm the host.
You're just the host.
Now you understand why we tortured some folks?
Everybody listen, the news is just a form of escapism. They make us live in comforting delusions by weaving improbable elaborate narratives to explain the system. But the truth is succinct and plausible. Reptilians.
You idiot blowhead, forget your Prozac dosage.
Shut up, Baxter. Don't you have an Afghani corpse to pose with?
You ass candle.
Now calm down. This is a serious news channel. Up next, celebrity pet scandals.
Alright, I think we've witnessed enough to get a sense of how we cope in the midst of the flood of overwhelming catastrophes that's building up. Be it mainstream or moonseed, the news feed performs an indispensable function as a sort of medicinal crutch that aids us on a daily basis to deal with the crushing gravity of the tragedies and other maladies that keep humanity gripped in their clutch. Fortunately, here at Rap News, we like to say, fuck that shit. Do not adjust the language. Give us truth of injustice, candid, untampered with, free from fanciful narratives, savage ironies unredacted. For the juice is the only remedy that can vanquish it.
Autonomous Action Radio for Triple Z's Anarchy Show.
I want you.
Moved out to the Australian land. It was 1955 and he had himself a plan. Didn't include a tobacco addiction, a popular thought of immigrant restriction.
and hate to block 101. They just don't want to stop. They just want to keep going with that punk about workers and workers' wages. And over the weekend in America, fast food workers demonstrated because they wanted to get a wage of $15 an hour, which is not too much to ask, really. And they were protesting. I saw pictures of them being arrested outside McDonald's. And so that's great to see that action there from American fast food workers. Just a quick mention now of a cool website that I came across. It's called Kropotkin the Surprise. So it's like Kinder Surprise, but starts with Kropotkin, who's a famous anarchist writer. Kropotkindersurprise.tumblr.com, and it's full of GIFs of riots, and it's pretty amusing. It's just the whole bit's really amazing to look at. It's just people protesting and standing up for their rights. Includes the dairy farmers spraying riot police with milk during a protest in Brussels, and also the Israeli Defense Force getting smoked out when Palestinian protesters throw back their tear gas grenades, which I understand is a pretty easy thing to do. They whirl around and you get them at the right time and throw them back. So that website is kropotkindersurprise.com. And something else I want to mention that I came across during the week is Team Brisbane. I read the little newsletter that I get in the post, the propaganda from the Brisbane City Council. And Team Brisbane is a new initiative to increase community pride in our city and encourage all residents to promote Brisbane and sell the message of what we have to offer the world. And so this is in the lead up to the G20. And the one thing about Team Brisbane that struck me, which was actually later confirmed by Blair from Queer Radio, is that it was very gay, and I mean gay as in that is wonderful that it's gay, not in gay as in the pair or that's so gay. I mean gay, it was so gay, it was wonderful. Some of my best friends are homosexuals. In fact, all of my best friends are homosexuals. And it's so great. They've got a picture and someone's wearing a scarf. The guy's wearing a scarf, a rainbow scarf. And they're talking about pride in our city. And pride is a word that is used by the homosexual community to promote acceptance. So there's a hashtag that you can use. And I looked on Twitter last night and it's pretty sick. The kind of corporate promotion and B105 Team Brisbane. But my idea was that we should start using the hashtag Team Brisbane to promote good things, like the rally that was held last night in memory of Hamid, the refugee asylum seeker who was on Manus Island and had a simple cut foot which became infected, became septicemia and caused him to have a heart attack and then be brain dead and have to have his life support system turned off. And so on Twitter I posted a photo of the memorial which was held last night by the Refugee Action Collective, and I used the hashtag Team Brisbane. I also suggested that when you find bad things around the city, like you get a huge parking fine, there's so many parking meters these days for areas that should be free parking, bins overflowing, homeless people, Team Brisbane is the hashtag to use. Also police brutality, and I think also a shout out to all the graph artists out there, and if you do a good piece you should hashtag it Team Brisbane. Time for some more music. Now you're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM, The Anarchy Show, Autonomous Action Radio. It's 25 after 12 and time for some Ah Fuck That with Q Jumper.
We'll be right back. may be, maybe not, who knows? But it doesn't really make any difference who's in power. The state remains the same. The structure's still there. They just tinker a little bit here and there. But it doesn't really make any difference who's in power. The state remains the same. The structure's still there. They just tinker a little bit here and there.
Tune in to Autonomous Action Radio, 4ZZZ's Anarchy Show. Just heard from Annika's Duck and People of the Underground, and before that Fuck That and Q Jumper. I want to talk a bit now about the G20, which is coming up in Brisbane in November. It's very fast approaching, and it's time on the Anarchy Show to get people interested in the G20 and interested in why anarchists would oppose the G20. And I've got some audio from the Pittsburgh G20 summit, which I covered in 2009 on the Aniki show, and it's got some people explaining why they're protesting the G20. Just a bit of a rundown on the Pittsburgh summit. It was the third meeting of the 20 heads of state to discuss financial markets and the world economy. And the G20 is the premier forum for discussing and planning and monitoring international economic cooperation, apparently. And the G20, which was held in Pittsburgh, was met with thousands of protesters, and also an alternative summit, which is going to be happening here in Brisbane as well. And so that's why I put together this little bit of audio from the G20 summit, some people talking about why they're resisting the G20.
And who do we have with us today?
My name is Pat. I play drums in a band called Anti-Flag.
Anti-Flag, are you guys new?
Yeah, we're this new band. We got a start from the internet. That MySpace has really helped us out, made us into a really special band.
Did you used to be called Alice Rotten?
No, they were a great band.
Yeah, because you look like they're kids. So why are you here today?
We are here because, as everybody is, should be here, because if they can shut down the city for a bunch of world leaders, we can shut down the city for us. G20 is the group of 20 most rich and powerful nations who are going to get together and decide our lives rather than democracy and the public's will.
So tell me the secret. Why do they come to Pittsburgh?
Because they can secure the area very easily. The rivers make it very difficult. It's the same reason why the French came here in the first place and the British came here after that.
Well, it was really nice to see. There's about 5,000 to 10,000 people. And it was just great to see so many different people, cross-sections of society, different causes, come together to say their piece and oppose the G20. So I was pretty stoked about it.
And tell us about those cops. It looked like you had someone aired, made the mistake, and gave you a bullhorn for a few minutes. What did you say?
Well, I was just trying to let them know why people are resisting the G20. Mainly, you know, economic oppression and global domination by a few countries and a few hands, while most of the world remains powerless, which I think is pretty disgusting. We can all agree on. So I was trying to educate the police officers, and they seemed to like it. They were into it. And it, you know, I think even they realize it is pretty ridiculous to have a 6,000 to 8,000 person march, most likely, and to have 4,000, you know, troops in all full riot gear. You know, it's a waste of resources, and you know, it's pretty ridiculous.
Right.
And we're about to start the big march against G20, the permitted march. And who are you?
Well, my name is Michael McPherson. I'm the executive director of Veterans for Peace. I'm also a member of Military Family Speak Out. I have a son who served a year in Iraq. He's out of the Army now, though.
And tell us now, when were you in Iraq?
Well, I was part of the first Gulf War.
Oh, the first?
Yeah, yeah. Now
you
most
look
of
like the a kid.
My son's 24. I'm 45.
Oh my
now
goodness.
most of the vets here right now around us are from this particular conflict right now. But I served in the first Gulf War. I was in the Army from 1981 to 1992.
Now, when did you become turned around against the war? Were you sort of against it before you left for Iraq?
Well, back then when I was in the military, I wasn't against war per se. I thought it was a necessary evil. I knew that we were going to Iraq during the first, what I call the first campaign of this war. It's the same war. A lot of it was about oil, but I also thought that a lot of it was to stop some level of aggression. But now that I've gotten older, you know, and I've understood things a lot better, I realize no, war is not in what they call necessary evil. War is just wrong. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
So how long have you been with the Iraq Veterans Against the War?
Well, once again, I'm with Veterans for Peace.
Veterans for Peace.
I found out about Veterans for Peace in 2002, not long after the invasion. So I've been working with them since then, and I became executive director in February of 2005.
Yeah.
Now, they keep on talking about the fact that we've left Iraq. Have the U.S. troops left Iraq?
No. Nobody's left Iraq. Only thing that's happened is that we've pulled out of the towns into the bases. And as far as we know, there's not any major offensives going on. But no one's left. And I understand that the president's saying that he's going to bring the troops home from Iraq. And, you know, I just don't know what he's going to do. And until he does it, I don't believe it.
It's an amazing PR campaign. I mean, the average citizen thinks that we have left.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I don't know what that shows other than the fact that our news media is really not doing their job, which is wonderful that we have media like yourself who is keeping on top of this and letting the people know what's really going on.
Okay, tie in for me, G20 and the issue of peace in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Sure. Well, if you follow the money when it comes to Iraq and Afghanistan, you can see that many corporations are making huge amount of dollars. And the thing about the G20 is that we have the 20 most powerful economic entities on the earth coming together, and they're deciding, now we're talking about 20 countries, and there's, I guess, about 192 or so countries in the world, right? So what we're talking about is 20 countries coming together to decide the economic future of the globe. And obviously, that's not fair and it's not right. And the biggest problem, though, not only that, is that the policies are really going to help corporations more than they're going to help the average person. So one of the reasons we came here today as Iraq veterans and Veterans for Peace is because we know that the policies that the G20 is putting forward, one, it's not going to help the average person, like I said. Also, it's going to lead to more wars. Because part of the reason wars take place is because these corporations are looking for new markets. They're looking for ways to expand their profits. So they send us, the American military and other militaries, into countries in order to control their resources. So what we want the G20 to do is set forth policies that don't create wars and support the needs of the average person rather than expanding the profits of corporations.
Everyone has their reasons, and I've studied it a lot, but I still am baffled about why we moved into Afghanistan. I know why the government says we did, but...
Well, you know, I think there's never one reason when you go to war. Maybe if you're under a dictatorship, but we do have a semi-democracy here, and you have to bring various forces together in order to perpetuate a war. So I think that one reason is that we want to have a strategic location, so in the future, when we want to expand operations in the region, you actually need a place to be able to do that. Another reason is that there are natural resources in the area, including oil, and there's a pipeline that we want to be able to control, not so much just because we need the oil, because we can get that on the open market. The issue is what other nations, what other powers might also need the oil so that we can control that access. And then another reason, which a lot of Americans at one time supported the war for, is because you did have Al-Qaeda there, and our country wants to interdict and not allow them to have a safe haven. But that's not the only reason, and that's the reason that they put that forward in order to justify the war. But those two reasons definitely also play a huge role, probably the major role.
Fuck you!
I ordered all those assembled to immediately disperse. Por orden del jefe de policía de la ciudad de Pittsburgh, esta asamblea ha sido declarada.
You just heard a piece that I put together of some people talking about the G20 in Pittsburgh, and that was from a show called Blast Furnace Radio that I got from radioforall.net, and Blast Furnace Radio has a WordPress, blastfurnacetv.wordpress.com, and the last bit of music you just heard then and sound was from YouTube, and it was the Chicago Indie Media Anarchist and Police Clash on day one of the Pittsburgh G20. And from now until November, I want to focus every week on the G20 and what is wrong with the G20. In other G20 news, Brisbane will be the first city to host a global cafe, the Brisbane Global Cafe, which aims to capitalise, interesting use of word, capitalise, capitalism, on our city status as the capital of the world when it hosts the G20 leaders for summit in November. And if Brisbane is the capital of the world, then it's our responsibility as people living in Brisbane to show and represent the people of the world who are victims of capitalism and neoliberalism, and stand up, show the resistance. And so at this G20 Global Cafe, there's going to be these high-profile identities who've been appointed to have conversations, and these people, I don't know, Murray, come on into the radio here and let's talk, and let's see if we think that these are the best people to be talking about issues that really affect our world today. The Brisbane cervical cancer vaccine pioneer, Ian Fraser. Potentially, yes, the cervical vaccine Gardasil is a bit controversial. Anyway, the national tourism identity, Christopher Brown, UK-based advisor for cities and business, Greg Clark, and CSIRO director, Dr. Alex Wanhaus, and international entrepreneurial leadership and business growth, Dr. Jana Matthews. So, I think there's some more pressing things happening in the world that we could have people talking about. What do you think, Murray?
Some of those, you know, organisations are obviously groups that are going to be, you know, very much working along, going along with the flow of, you know, the status quo and, you know, the power structures already existing in the world. You know, the CSIRO is notorious for suppressing all sorts of you know, interesting research that scientists have tried to do, and scientists who've tried to talk about the implications of that research, just as an example.
And I would say, like, climate change has got to be the biggest threat to the world at the moment. There's lots of threats to the world brought about by civilization and mankind's activity, but climate change is probably like the biggest one.
Well, it's absolutely global in scale. I mean, it's a planetary phenomenon, and it's really not just about climate. You know, it's actually a geological scale phenomenon. This is you know, we're engaging in short term actions. When I say we, I mean we, but I also mean industrial civilization, short-term actions that are having effects on the scale of, you know, hundreds of millions of years.
So if you have an idea of what of who should maybe be speaking at the Global Cafe, we're going to open it up. You can leave a comment on the Autonomous Action Radio Facebook page. You can email radicallinda@riseup.net. I think the food crisis is a big thing that's going to be coming up soon, as climate change and just depletion of the fertile soil.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many thousands, tens if not hundreds of thousands of people dying every year already, but you know, as a result of industrially induced climate change. So, you know, like we're in the crisis. It's just that, you know, there's a fair few of us in relatively privileged situations where we don't have to, you know, constantly reflect on that and deal with the impacts.
So that's something, a project for us in the coming months. We're going to hear a song now by Anti-Flag, and it's called The Neoliberal Anthem. Coming up soon, Murray and I will be talking about nonviolent communication. And also, I'm going to be mentioning the winners of our prizes from Radiothon this year for Triple Z's major fundraiser. That was Anti-Flag and The Neoliberal Anthem. We are going to be talking soon about non-violent communication, but before that, I just wanted to do a shout out to the people who subscribed to to the Anarchy Show during, or Autonomous Action Radio during the fundraiser Radiothon, and also to the businesses which donated prizes for us, the small businesses. And there was a $50 voucher to Embellished, which is a shop that has hair things and fedoras and cute things for kids, and embellished.com.au. That's Embellished with a D on the end, and the $50 voucher. And Robin was the lucky winner of that for her daughter Moonbeam. And there's also a $50 voucher to Tiptoe and Co, which is for children's shoes. Tiptoeandco.com.au, the $50 voucher. And a very big congratulations to Nathan, who picked up that for children's shoes. And Murray, you've got children?
Yeah, that's right.
And unfortunately, you didn't subscribe during Radiothon, or maybe you did. We'll have to talk about that later. And there was a jewelry set from Knotlace, knotlace.com.au, and James picked that up. He's a regular listener, and his partner Caroline is going to have the Knotlace necklace and earrings set. And there's also this, oh, this is such a great prize, the Ever Earth Large Workbench. And it's like a workbench. It's all made from wood with all these tools for kids from cheekyjunior.com.au. And we don't actually really have a winner for that yet, because a lot of people said they were subscribed, but they didn't want a prize. Thanks to Leonie for subscribing, but she also said she didn't want a prize. So not too sure how that's going. And there's also a jewelry, a beautiful rose. I think it's a rose quartz from Curly Whirly Crystals. A friend of mine makes Curly Whirly Crystals from the Sunshine Coast. He's at Candy Mountain.
You know, maybe people have just got too much stuff already.
Well, that is one thing. I mean, I'm not too much into prizes or getting things. So one very useful thing that we have is some night walkers. We have 10 pairs of night walkers, and they're from a place called alexandrastoybox.com.au. And the night walkers, which we're going to be talking about again because I'm still giving some away, are these great flashy light things that you put on your shoes. So when you're bike riding, you have these flashy lights on your shoes to help with your visibility. Personal protective equipment, PPE. And
yeah, you can't get enough of, can't be too visible when you're riding your bike at night.
Yes, unless you're trying to do something undercover and stealth.
That's right.
Yeah, then you can be too visible. Or if you're, I think, if you're in Canada and you're trying to not be seen by bears. Another reason I think people do that. I know people who go on bike riding treks. They try not to be visible. And
wouldn't the bears smell you?
Details. That's why. Anyway, so 10 pairs of night walkers, and so we're going to be giving those night walkers away to subscribers. And so if you want to pick up a pair, call 3252-1555. If you're a 4ZZZ subscriber, we're going to be giving those away on Outlaws Radio on Friday night, the hip-hop show. They're pretty fun. Everyone that sees them wants them.
Check this out.
Ranger.
You're listening to Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ. And now we're going to be talking quickly about nonviolent communication. Although, I don't know if you can, I mean, nonviolent communication, I believe, should be slow, right?
No, not necessarily. We can do like a speed dating version.
Yeah, because you're going to have to be fast, because we've got to mention the forum that's on tomorrow night too.
Yeah. Well, should I talk
for
a minute? Yeah, so, you know, I'm involved in a community of people in Brisbane and wider afield who sort of study and practice nonviolent communication, and we also talk about compassionate communication as another term for the same sort of set of practices and ideas. you know, people will talk about it, you know, in their own personal way. And for me, you know, it's really, it's really just about starting, you know, personal interactions and group processes, and even, you know, an approach to social change, starting all that with the recognition that, you know, I'm here, and you know, the way I'm feeling is real, and I've got some important needs that are actually driving my behavior, and that's the case for, you know, everyone, you know, here in this building today, and everyone around the world. You know, we don't just act, we're not just acting out, you know, we've got needs, we've got like real human needs that basically, you know, unite us in a way. You know, we all have the same needs, even though we go about trying to meet them in different ways. So nonviolent communication, you know, without getting into the details of how, it's basically about communicating with people on that level of, like, what do you need in this situation? And not necessarily hearing and taking on a lot of the opinions and judgments that people send at you, or that you send at yourself.
Fantastic. Murray, can we invite you in? I think I'll invite you in another time, maybe next week, to talk more about this, because unfortunately the need that I have right now is Matt's need to start Asphodel Meadows. So I'm just going to mention this People's Forum for our community notice this week, and then play some music to end the show. So there's a People's Forum tomorrow night, September the 9th at 6 p.m. at South's Leagues Club, and for more information, you can ring Robin on 0411118737, and she is the Community Outreach Working Group for the Brisbane Community Action Network. And there's also an email, info@briscan.net.au, and the website briscan.net.au, and it's put on by the West End of this community forum, how the G20 will impact our community. And Sam Watson is speaking, Councillor Helen Abraham, Scott McDougall from the Caxton Legal Service, Robin Tarwenfeld from BrisCan, and there will be some senior police service people there as well. So that will be interesting. Remember, don't talk to the police. This forum, it's a good place to talk to the police. But be careful what you say. It is 1 o'clock, time for Asphodel Meadows. A non-subscriber asked us to play Low Self-Opinion by the Rollins Band. We'll have to see if Matt wants to play that. And we're going to leave today with Tonight We Storm the Bastille by Steve Towson and the Conscripts. Steve Towson is a subscriber.
Right now, it is one for all, for the tackle one is an attack on all. We'll dig our way underneath that prison floors, while on the scale of the okay.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Z Digital. More information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
Suffer for the oligopoly of the few.